Hey everyone, this amazing ESO Network show is brought to you by our fine sponsor, Amazon.com. Please remember to shop Amazon for all your geeky needs, no matter what time of the year it is. All you need to do is go to ESOpodcast.com/ESOAmazon or click on the Amazon banner on the ESO Network webpage to go to our e-store. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. Okay, that's enough of me babbling for now. Now on with your regular scheduled show.
Hello, wrestling fans, and welcome to the Pro Wrestling Roundtable, episode 54. As you can tell, your normal host, John, is not here. But fear not, Richard is. That's right, my name is Richard Yule, and I will gladly host you to this episode of the Pro Wrestling Roundtable. And as always, I am with Jonathan Williams, and we have a special guest tonight. Yes, he is a returning guest. He has been on our show once before as an interviewee, but now we are going to bring him into the fold, bring him into the normal discussion. And that man is the voice of Ring of Honor, Ian Riccaboni. That's right. If you remember in our last discussion, we discovered that he is quite the LJN Wrestling Superstars collector. He also collects wrestling figures in general, and after many months and over a year or so of talking about wrestling figures, John has allowed me to, yes, have a show dedicated to wrestling figures. Not only just a show, but we are going to do a series, and that will entail a variety of the wrestling lines over the years. So, we are going to start off with the one that started it all, AWA Remco figures, followed by LJN Wrestling Superstars. Those will be the subjects tonight. You will get a little bit of a taste of just me and Jonathan's talking about our collecting over the years as a precursor to the main subject. But we hope you enjoy this, and we appreciate you listening to the show, supporting the show. Go to www.patreon.com/theprowrestlingroundtable. Go to iTunes, review the show, tell us how good or bad we are, I guess. But if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all, I guess. That's what Mom used to tell me. Anyway, I truly hope you enjoy this show. We put a lot of heart into it, and we'll be right back after these messages.
My name is Brian Foster.
Everything you know is wrong. Got that?
Now, the reason that I'm calling is because I have begun to suspect you don't have any ladybugs in your freezer.
Hey cuz, Roy here. So about your car.
The darkness was never empty.
There's this presence in my head.
But I'm pretty sure that the book was confiscated by cats.
You're damn right we find a lot of bodies when Foster is around.
And some people call me the Night Blogger.
Welcome back to the Pro Wrestling Roundtable, and I am here, Richard, with Jonathan Williams. What's up, Jonathan?
Oh, just getting over a root canal and an infection in my face. Glad to be off the couch and on the podcast.
Yeah, we're glad to hear you're doing better. That's an awful, awful experience, I'm sure, and it was not pleasurable to go through. So I'm glad you're healing up and glad to have you on the show. We don't have John with us for a couple of reasons, but this is sort of the start of a special, series, maybe we'll call it. We talked about action figures in passing since we started the podcast a couple of years ago, and you know, we're finally going to get to it. So tonight we are going to start the series, and we will have a special guest on for that. Ian Riccoboni will be back, and he will, you know, join us to share his love of wrestling figures, because he kind of opened that door the last time he was on, so we are glad to have him back. And tonight's episode is, we're going to kind of do it from the beginning of wrestling figures to the end. So we talked about it, and tonight we're going to do AWA, the Remco line, and of course the LJN Wrestling Superstars line. So those were kind of the genesis of wrestling figures. And before we get to all that, me and Jonathan just wanted to get on and talk a little bit about, you know, our past with wrestling figures and what makes us want to do this series for you guys. Because it'll probably be 4 or 5 episodes, not in a row. We'll space it out. We'll try to, you know, maybe every few months we'll try to get a figure show for you. But so Jonathan, what's your kind of origin story for wrestling figures and collecting?
Well, I don't remember how old I was. I could probably do the math, but I'd probably say I was about 5 or 6 maybe, and I got a bunch of the LJN WWF figures, including the ring, for Christmas one year.
Nice.
So that was my introduction to wrestling action figures. I never had the AWA ones, and don't remember even seeing them in stores. That might have been a little before my time, or maybe they were just, you know, I grew up in the South, so maybe they were more available in the area where they ran. I don't know, but you know, WWF was by that point a national company, and yeah. I watch it every Saturday morning, and it had the much more cartoonish vibe to it. So, you know, these figures, for those who don't know or don't remember or whatever, they were basically large chunks of rubber. I guess they were 12 inches.
Probably.
But they had no articulation. They were just big chunks of rubber shaped like whichever wrestler, and then painted, you know, the clothes or whatever, the pants and boots and facial hair and things like that were painted on. So I remember having Hulk Hogan, the Iron Sheik, who had the curly Q boots that one of my dogs got a hold of and chewed off. Junkyard Dog, who was cool because he actually had an accessory, sort of. He had a collar that was attached to him. It wasn't part of the mold, and had a plastic collar with a plastic chain hanging off of it. Who else did I have? Nikolai Volkoff, I believe I had, and he had a removable, the fur Russian hat thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, the way these things were marketed was you could drop them at a certain angle onto their toes or whatever, and they would supposedly, like, launch at the other figure. But that rarely actually happened. But the ring had elastic ropes and everything, so you could do, you know, things off the ropes and whatnot. But they were cool. I mean, they were pretty detailed for their time. And, you know, you could definitely tell it wasn't just like one action figure body with different heads attached or whatever. There was more than one body, but it was basically, you know, maybe three or four body types, and they would just put different heads on them. But then, you know, just ever since then, I've collected here and there. I think the Hasbro ones, which we talked about with Ian Riccoboni on a previous episode, those were my favorites, and I really like these new ones that have come out in that style that I believe are only available at Walmart, unfortunately. But I was able to get the whole set of those recently. I found the Elusive 2, the Ultimate Warrior, and the Undertaker ones.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, basically as long as I've been a wrestling fan, I've been a wrestling action figure collector of some sort.
Yeah, so I love those retro figures. They don't really have a name other than people call them the retro line of Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns, and they all look basically like the Hasbro figures. The tan is a little different. Like, the skin tone is a little different. I think it's more tan than the Hasbro figures were basically. The Caucasian people were just white, and these mm-hmm. seem to, you know, all of them, even Kevin Owens, just seem to have a different tint. So if you line them all up next to each other, some of them are off a little bit, but they're still very cool, and I can't wait to see if they do a Series 2 of it.
Oh, they are. I've seen the old school Mask Kane, Stone Cold Steve Austin, and The Rock are supposed to be in Series 2.
Oh, I haven't seen those.
Supposed to come out, I think, in the fall.
Nice.
I don't know if it's just going to be those three, or that's just the only ones they are revealing so far.
Yeah, maybe the only ones they're revealing. The Kane and with the Undertaker would be cool.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool. Glad they're continuing that line. To be honest, when I was a kid, I mean, most of the LJNs, they were out prime time for me to be collecting them and seeing them in the stores. But I don't remember them. I was too busy collecting, like, He-Man and some other things, I guess. I loved wrestling, but my parents didn't necessarily buy me toys so much as, you know, just random things. I came into the collecting game a little later, and it probably wasn't until the mid-90s till I had any of, you know, an LJN or a Hasbro or anything. But obviously my collecting of He-Man and collecting of other things has sparked my interest in continuing to try to find the old figures and just my love of wrestling figures. The LJNs are actually really cool. Unfortunately, if I find any now, and even in the mid-90s, it was always the same ones. You know, Nikolai Volkov seemed to be the popular one to be everywhere. Hogan, trying to think of some of the others. Special Delivery Jones, he was everywhere. But, like, some of the cooler ones, and Brutus Barber Beefcake was too, but he didn't necessarily look like... I think he was just Brutus the Beefcake, right? Like, I mean, that figure was more around the time that he wasn't necessarily a barber yet.
Probably. I don't know. I feel like I remember him coming with the little shears or something, but I might be wrong.
Yeah, I never liked any of the figures of him as far as the old school stuff. Like, even his Hasbro figure, I don't like it. Some of the actions on the Hasbro figures just take away from the actual figure. You know, they might have that big lump on their back so you can launch them. And I mean, as a kid playing with them, it's awesome, you know. But from if you want them to look like the person, you know, and Hasbro's didn't really come with accessories so much. Only a few did, I believe. Like, I remember Demolition, they had their masks. Mm-hmm. And I had them up until a few years ago. So those were cool. But the LJN seem, if I could go back and collect the line, I would love to have the LJNs. And surprisingly enough, there's a lot of accessories for them. Like Honky Tonk Man had his guitar. You know, I mean, there's just a lot. Miss Elizabeth, I never knew she had a skirt. So, but we'll get into talking about all that later on. So that's kind of my collecting. And now I... I still collect, and I know you do too.
You and I have been exchanging texts and stuff over the past few months. I've been resisting ever since Mattel took over the WWE stuff. Well, I didn't really like the first few things they came out with because they had like the light up chest and stuff like that. But then when they started just making the straight up action figures, most of them look so good that I'm just like, nah, I can't buy any of them because if I buy one, then I'm going to have to buy all of them. Yeah. And I held out for a while. I'd find one here and there, like on clearance at Target or something. And I got the Defining Moments Ultimate Warrior a few years ago from the match he had against Randy Savage, where it was career versus title. And he's got I found that one for like $11 or something. And so I had that one. And then my girlfriend got me another one for Christmas, and it was the Ultimate Maniacs Defining Moments Ultimate Warrior figure. So then, of course, I had to get the Ultimate Maniacs Macho Man figure. And from there, it just, I kind of got a little out of control. I got several other ones, and I finally just recently stopped for now. I mean, I think I will continue. I'll just narrow it down to, like, you know, Ultimate Warrior and Sting maybe or something like that. But really, I just want these retro figures, and I got all those, so.
That's cool. Yeah, and I mean, at $20 a pop, they're very expensive, so it's not the easiest thing to collect, you know? Mm-hmm. Even if you take them out of the package, they don't take up that much room on the shelf, but they're still $20 a pop. I mean, that's crazy. So, at least for me, it is. So, I have a hard time buying them, too. I mean, today, I was at Walmart, and I saw three or four that I just wanted right away. I mean, they have the Ascension, which we can go on a rant about how awful they are now. But, I mean, when they were on NXT, I loved them. And I love their look, and I think they're a great tag team. And mm-hmm. But their figures are very cool looking. So, and then they have the old school Gold Dust. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I saw it on Amazon, awesome. I think.
Yeah, it's awesome. And then they have a Kane that has the mat. It has like the corporate Kane face, you know, just his face. But then it has the mask that you slip over his face, and it has the hair attached to it. That one's very cool.
Yeah, I've seen a few Kane figures over the years that it was hard for me not to get.
Yeah, I've thought about that too, though, collecting one person, you know, and I kind of started that with Finn Balor. And then I've kind of gone to Shawn Michaels. Of course, they don't release too many of him, but I got his Funko Pop, which that's a whole nother line that you could collect, you know.
Yeah, that's another show altogether.
Yeah, that might be added later on to the series. But I got the Shawn Michaels. Walgreens is a crazy, like, exclusive haven now. Like, companies mm-hmm. are only making figures for Walgreens, and they made a Kane Funko Pop and a Shawn Michaels Funko Pop for Walgreens. So that's, I didn't get the Kane because I didn't pick him up that day, and I don't know if he's still available. But I got the Shawn Michaels Hall of Fame figure, and that one's pretty cool. It's a good likeness of him. And I agree with you, the Mattels, when they first started, I didn't really care for them, but I think they're just knocking it out of the park anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's, I mean, in fact, me and Jonathan have gone toy collecting together. Like, we've gone toy hunting together when I was back there with you in Atlanta in January for the Ring of Honor show.
So, oh, that's right.
We even went to Walmart. I think we went to a couple of Walmarts trying to find those retro figures. So,
yeah.
So, you know, I'm glad to see that it's still not dying. And, in fact, it's only growing. I'm kind of surprised we don't have a TNA line or Impact line right now going. I don't know if anybody has the license for it right now. But
I wouldn't be surprised if that's not in the works, because it seems like, I don't know if you've been keeping up with Well, I guess it now officially is just called Impact Wrestling.
It is, but I have a hard time.
Even though their title belt still has prominently on it TNA. It seems like since the Jarretts came back into the picture and they partnered with Anthem or whatever it is, and like
more
it seems
money,
like they're doing things the right way, which they usually haven't done historically.
Yeah.
And the past 3 weeks have been broadcast from India, which is pretty cool. And I'm sure, you know, just like all their shows, those were all taped in one night, but still, you know, that's there, you know, WWE has a champion of Indian descent, and I think they're working on that, but somehow TNA sort of beat them to it.
Yeah.
And which they did a few years ago as well with Ring Ka King, which never really went anywhere for some reason. But anyway, it seems like TNA is getting all that kind of stuff in line with like their merchandise and the markets they're trying to reach and things like that. So they may have an announcement about toys near future, but I'm just speculating. I don't know anything.
Yeah, no, it makes sense, but man, we'll probably never get a Vanguard One figure, you know, and a broken Matt Hardy and all that. So I mean, we'll get broken Matt Hardy if they ever, you know, do that gimmick in WWE, but that's yet to be seen. So
yeah, they keep hinting at it, but I don't know if they're. I don't know what is preventing that.
But how awesome would a Hardy Compound playset have been? Like when it was at the height, you know? Like, you could have done some great stuff. But, well, I guess with the broken, I mean, Impact doesn't want to let that go. Like they're saying that they own that character. So that's part of the reason why, I'm sure that's part of the reason WWF hasn't, or WWE hasn't involved broken Matt Hardy into the fold. Because, I mean, why wouldn't they? It's great. Vince would love that. So I think there's some legal stuff going on. I mean, that, you know, Reba, what's her name? Rebby? She started a whole Twitter battle and stuff with Anthem. And, it got ugly. So I don't know if we'll ever see Broken Matt Hardy again. But hopefully. But anyway.
I mean, I guess maybe he just got his psychological issues taken care of.
Yeah, I guess so. And just zoomed back to the 90s and became a Hardy boy again.
Or, you know, maybe it's an environmental thing. He got back in that environment and so reverted back to a different mentality.
The smell of actual money kind of woke him up out of his trance. I think when Billy Corgan was doing it, there was some very cool things and some very cool action figures that could have came from that. So I hope TNA gets them going. I love the Toy Biz TNA figures. I have a whole shoebox full of them still. They're great figures. They look great, and I mean they look just like the people.
Yeah, I was stupid and I never got any of them, but I almost. I had in my hand, I think it was what was his name? James Mitchell.
Oh yeah, I've got.
There was a variant or a chase figure or something, you know, like packed one per case, different version of him, and I just happened to see it at Target one day, and it was the same thing. I was like, if I buy this one, then I'm gonna have to buy all of them.
Yeah.
So I'll get it, and I regret that to this day.
Yeah, his figure is a little weird. It's like the old Jax. Well, it is. I'm trying to think. Might have still been Toy Biz. But anyway, it's like the old Jax figures when they first came out. They had the straight bodies, like the straight legs for the managers and ring announcers and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That's how James Mitchell was. So he just stood there. But he had his cane and the face looked like him, so. But yeah, if you go back through, I mean, there's there's some great figures, mostly WWE guys, like most of them have already had figures, but like Jay Lethal, who we've had on the show and talked about it, he's got a great TNA figure. So yeah, I mean, and you know, also, you know, Ring of Honor has its own line now, so it's hard to miss that. And even independent wrestlers have their own lines now. So, you know, there's no stopping the wrestling business right now. I love the figures, so I'm glad to see them continuing. And that's really all I have before we start talking about the actual lines. How about you?
Yeah, I think that's a good start. We'll delve into more specifics as we divvy up which lines we're talking about, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. So we just wanted to give you a taste and give you an explanation of what's going to happen. John will probably be on the shows past this, but he is not the figure collector as me and Jonathan are. But he loves them, but like everybody else, you know, right now, I mean, the figures have just gone up and up, and now they're at a $20, $25 price mark, and it's really hard to, you know, collect them all. And but we'll get into all that later, and we'll be back.
Hi, this is Siri. I would never, never, ever listen to the Earth Station 1 podcast. Who the heck says howdy anyway? Why don't you listen to Chris Hardwick instead? I can get you his information. The Nerdist is everywhere anyway, haha. That was a joke. The Earth Station 1 podcast. It's time to let your inner geek out to play. You can find them at www.earthstation1.com or up on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or wherever fine podcasts are found. Peace, and we're done.
It is time for the main subject of the show, and not only am I joined by Jonathan Williams once again, but we are also joined by the voice of Ring of Honor, the lead announcer, Ian Riccoboni. How are you, Ian?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Oh, yeah, no problem. We're glad to have you in the fold, not necessarily interviewing you now. You're part of the group here, and we're glad to have you to talk about AWA Remco figures and the LJN Superstars, which is what you mentioned that you collected in our interview with you a few episodes ago. We also got Jonathan here as well. So I want to start with the AWA figures. You know, it's funny. I imagine that this probably still brings nightmares to Vince McMahon, but WWF was not the first figure line, although it debuted the same year as the AWA Remco figures. AWA were actually first. Both of the lines we're talking about tonight debuted in 1985, but AWA just beat it out by a little bit. And they were quite different from each other. Most of the AWA figures, the sets were in figures of two or three packs as opposed to single figure packs. And so what memory, and you know, these were more of the He-Man style as far as the big hulking bodies with the head, you know, with the kind of flimsy heads.
Right.
So, but they had accessories and all sorts of things. So, you know, what is your memory? I did not have any of these as a kid. I saw them about mid-90s. I kind of got into them.
You know, I grew up in Allentown, Pennsylvania, so we were pretty firmly WWF country, but, you know, we did get the WCW figures, the Galoob figures right out of the gate. Ones that I really never saw until I was in, of all places, Wildwood, New Jersey, were the AWA action figures. And I actually saw, before I even saw the AWA figures, I saw the knockoffs first. So there were really popular knockoffs that were around. I'm sure everybody would know it to see it. Knockoff Hulk Hogan, knockoff Big John Studd, knockoff Iron Sheik. I think there's a knockoff Snuka as well. And these were in the exact same sort of the He-Man body shape, but those would end up at the dollar stores and, you know, the knockoff ones. But it was actually in Wildwood, New Jersey, where I remember seeing for the very first time these AWA figures. So it kind of surprised me. It was guys that I knew of before, and I very, very vividly remember seeing Ric Flair and Larry Zbyszko. And I remember thinking, you know, even as a kid, well, wait, they spelled Ric Flair's name wrong on the package. They put a K on it.
Oh, they did.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah. And then I actually saw more of the thumb wrestlers than the actual action figures growing up. Because again, I don't know if it was because I was in Pennsylvania or if it was because I became more aware of the action figures sort of after the twilight of the AWA figures. But I really mostly just saw the thumb wrestlers later, and oddly enough, you know, some of the you know, some of the two packs at dollar stores and whatnot on the Jersey Shore. But what really stands out to me is this line has a lot of figures that of guys that we wouldn't see in later lines, and that includes Greg Gagne, Mr. Electricity Steve Regal. It has a Freebirds three pack, which we didn't see until, you know, the classic line that came out later. It has the Long Riders, the Irwins. So that was kind of neat. And there's a Crusher Jerry Blackwell. So there's all kinds of cool, you know, one-time only figures in this line. Carlos Colon had an action figure in this line before, you know, any other line. Same thing with Abdullah the Butcher and Nick Bockwinkel. So it was really, really neat. And it wasn't until I think like you later where I really kind of started to understand this line. Because for a while, you know, when you're a kid, you know, wrestling figures are wrestling figures. And so you just want anything that looks like a wrestler. So for a while, I actually thought the knockoffs were a part of the line. So it was kind of neat. You know, when eBay started to get really big, and there's a store called Pro Wrestling World in Allentown that's still there to this day. You start to see these things pop up and you start to get some context around them. And what I've always found interesting is, you know, the AWA, they stake the claim as the first company to have the wrestling action figures. They had some of the biggest names, including the Road Warriors, Ric Flair, Larry Zbyszko, Baron Von Raschke, the Freebirds. But there's always been the longstanding rumor in action figure lore that the Greg Gagne, Jim Brunzell High Flyers pack was actually out long before 1985 and available in the Twin Cities in a limited basis, kind of a test basis. I don't know if you guys knew anything about that, but that's always been the rumor that's circulated online.
Neat. I've never heard that, actually. That's pretty cool. I mean, I'm sure it makes sense, and it still amazes me. Like, there's four main lines, and then you have, you know, the thumbsters and stuff. But, yeah, I mean, that it's crazy that that's only in basically a year and a half, and then it was gone. They were all pretty much off the shelves, I'd say. Might have circulated for a little bit just in clearance bins. But I also think it's funny that a lot of wrestlers, especially coming in the mid-90s or so, had their first figures from the AWA line. You know, you had Marty Jannetty, Shawn Michaels. Of course, that was the very last line, which those are very hard to get, especially now, but they were hard to get. Anytime a line is ending, the very last line is usually the hardest because they underproduce them. So there's not that many, yeah. And also Scott Hall. You have a Scott Hall figure who, you know, was just Scott Hall and later became Razor Ramon. And
I forgot about that.
With the CGI mustache?
I think he had that.
Big Scott Hall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he had the mustache and everything. You know, most of the accessories are pretty cool because they were made out of fabric and you know, the robes were real robes. They weren't made of plastic because it was obviously cheaper back then, especially. So you had a lot of cool things like that, and you had the Road Warriors, and they came with... So what was cool is you had the tag teams come together, and even you had Road Warriors come with Paul Ellering. So, I mean, as a kid, I imagine these were really cool. You even had Kurt Hennig before he was Mr. Perfect come out. So, I mean, a lot of these guys, before they were really huge in WWF, you had them already superstars in AWA, and, you know, Remco buying the license. I would have thought would have, you know, skyrocketed the promotion, but there's probably politics behind that as a reasons why. And John could probably talk for an hour of how that happened. But
well, and it's really interesting too, because the AWA, like if you look back, you know, they were, you know, they staked their claim as the first to have the action figures. And I think you're right though. They were on the cutting edge of a lot of this stuff. I mean, they had that big cable deal with ESPN, which at the time was in more homes than the USA Network. Which, of course, WWF would be on. They took over for Southwest Championship Wrestling. So, you know, it was a thing where the AWA, in a lot of ways, it seemed way ahead of the curve. And you know, a lot of people say, oh, you know, the WWE tried to, you know, go for rapid national expansion. But I think the truth is, I think everybody else, if given the opportunity or given the foresight, would have done it. And you see this with stuff like the action figures, VHS tapes. I mean, the AWA, heck, they included VHS tapes with some of the action figures. Those are some of the cooler items that they released. So, you know, they were some of the first to market with stuff like that. And, you know, just really, really cool stuff from the AWA. And they always seemed a little bit ahead of the curve.
Yeah, Jonathan, do you have any memories or have you ever collected any of these figures? I mean, now it's almost impossible to collect them if you don't have money. The figures are very expensive, especially mint on card. I mean, they're even hard to find, even if you wanted them. I mean, that Matt Mania series is just crazy. So do you have any memories of, have you ever collected any of them?
No, not really. I found a few maybe 3 or 4 years ago at an indie show here locally where they had a bunch of vendors, like a flea market. And there was, you know, the typical wrestling figure vendor with like a big plastic bin of figures, all of which are like $2 each or something.
Yeah.
And I found both Road Warriors and one of the Freebirds. I think it was Terry Gordy. I forget which one it was now. And I grabbed them because same thing you just said. My thought was like, these things are worth a fortune. So even though these are out of the package and don't have any of the accessories, I'm sure I can get something for them. But they're not really worth that much in that condition. But, you know, I'm a huge Road Warrior fan, so I was glad to have some form of those figures. But no, I've never had much interest in collecting them, just because, mainly because, you know, now especially, they don't look very good.
Yeah, especially if they've been played with and beaten up over the years. I mean, the paint on the faces, I remember, goes away pretty quick. So, yeah, that's unfortunate. I mean, just age. And now these things are 30 years old. You know, so, mm-hmm. I mean, that's a crazy amount of time.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, 32 years old. So, I mean, it's crazy to think that it was that long ago. But they had rings, too. As far as I can remember, and Ian, maybe you can help me with this, I remember the ring being made of wood, or at least most of it. Is that right?
I think so. You know, I actually never had that ring, but again, at you know, Bud Carson at Carson's Pro Wrestling World, he was the guy that really introduced me to eBay when I was a young kid. And he had one. And if I remember correctly, you know, he'd get him in and it was wood-like if it wasn't wood, which is, I'm sure we'll get to this. It was in stark contrast to the hard plastic impaling LJN ring that existed.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't laugh because, I mean, you know, the ring, the AWA ring is actually really, really cool, especially for an early wrestling ring. I'd put it right up with the Hasbro ring is probably the best, you know, the best kind of vintage, you know, wrestling ring toy.
I mean, if you take away the realism of the faces and that they may not be, you know, perfectly articulated as far, I mean, only 5 points of articulation. Of course, back then, that's pretty much all figures had. And I just want to read
5 points than the WWF figures had.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, right.
So Jimmy Garvin, He came with a blue color robe, and he also came in a flabby or muscular body, and I find that to be somewhat humorous.
That's how they've come to be referred to, as flabby or muscular body. I guess those are the only two body types for those figures.
I'm sure, and I mean, that's got to be the way they kept the cost down, is making the fabric, and that's what I was getting to with the ring. The apron was actually made of fabric, and I just remember the ropes being basically ropes, just string, and then the wood poles, and then the fabric. I mean, it's actually gorgeous. I've seen it in person a long, long time ago, probably 20 years ago, but I've told this story to Jonathan, but I'll just share it with everybody because it's kind of a unique story as far as collecting. But I knew a guy back in the day, this was probably about 96, 97, that collected the AWA figures, and his goal was to get them all. And, I mean, even back then, that was an expensive hobby to do, and it was still hard to find them all. So he spent years trying to gather all these together, and he got some mint on card. He got some loose but mint, you know, with all their accessories and all that. He got every figure they had ever released, and about a month after he did that, he sold them all. He sold the entire collection because the hunt was over. Like, for him, it was purely the hunt of the thrill of the hunt, as they say. But after that, he sold the entire collection, I think, to somebody. But yeah, I imagine it was very expensive even back then. But if he had held on to them, he could probably get a mint for them now.
Yeah, very, very underrated set, you know, and there's some cool standouts too. Like, you know, while we did mention that there's, you know, maybe the sculpt, we're so used to the head sculpt and the head scans now. You know, the figure that I like the most is Larry Zbysko. I think there's a surprising, wonderful cartoon accuracy to his face, which I really, really think is cool. Baron von Raschke's is really nice as well. In fact, I think Baron von Raschke's is nicer than the Legends of Wrestling figure that came out in 1999 or 2000.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I think this is the only time we'll ever see Boris Zukov, Doug Summers, Buddy Rose, Shiganon LKC. So, you know, I think with those guys, it's really neat just that they have action figures, especially too, because, you know, everybody remembers the WWF was, you know, had quite a boom, but, you know, the AWA was, you know, they were being watched every week on ESPN, and they had the cable time slot, and, you know, you'd come home from school, you'd watch that. So, just, you know, incredible. I wasn't able to watch it. I was too young during the first run, in some cases not even born yet. But, you know, when I was going to kindergarten, first grade, second grade, you'd come home and ESPN would either have on AWA reruns, Global, or some World Class reruns. And, you know, I remember seeing all of these guys, and it shocked me years later. I think that speaks to the rarity of the Matt Mania set, that, you know, Doug Summers had an action figure and that Buddy Rose did, and then LKC. So,
yeah. Yeah, it is kind of shocking just to know that some of these guys, like you said, most of these guys will never have an action figure around, I wouldn't imagine. They're pretty selective now in what they do, but I still find it, I think the coolest ones to me, not necessarily the figures themselves, but just knowing that Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty had figures before Hasbro, I think that's pretty cool. So, Jonathan, you got anything else on AWA or Ian? I mean, you know, it was a very short-lived line. I mean, there were four, the series of four, but basically we've run through just about every figure that they had come up with. Like I said, if you haven't seen them, you should go online and look. But anything to add, guys, on that?
Well, I did interview Larry Zbysko a few years ago. He was appearing at a local toy convention in Atlanta, and he was on my old podcast, which you can still find on WrestlingWithPopCulture.com. And we talked quite a bit about his figure and that line in general. And I was just thinking, there weren't a whole lot of Larry Zbysko figures that came after that one either, were there? Not that I can think of.
You know, I can't. I mean, even in the WCW line, I can't think of if he had any right off. Ian, do you remember?
I don't think he had one in the original, in any of the WCW lines. I know he didn't for Galoob. I don't think he had one in Toy Biz. If he did, it would have been the class. I think he had one in the class, the Jax Classic set, and that's it.
Yeah, I bet you're right. I think he did have one. And Jax was doing some crazy thing. I mean, they were doing some, not like rare, not like obsolete wrestlers, but just wrestlers that didn't have a figure. So I believe you're right about that. So yeah, I mean, but Larry Zbysko is a legend. I mean, you know, so it's amazing that we're struggling to think that if he has one or not. So
yeah, so that's one of the few Larry Zbysko figures. Well, I think they did a couple of different ones in that AWA line.
I mean, I think they did variations on everybody in a way. I mean, most of them had variants, I think. I mean, you either had, like we've said, the muscular and flabby bodies. That's on a few different ones. You had different camouflage outfits on Greg Gagne. And the Fabulous Freebirds were, once again, muscular or flabby. And then they had paint jobs just on their knee pads, silly things like that. But, you know, if you're going to collect them all, you got to have those, so... And some of them came with like stickers and a pinky ring. So they really jumped on that He-Man bandwagon, which was right around the same time of just marketing and merchandising.
Yeah. And what's crazy to me is by my count, it's about 30 action figures. And they did that in less than 2 years. If you count up the unique characters in the LJN line, I think it's between 50 and 60. I'm spitballing here, but I'm trying to count the list here real quick. So it's amazing that in, you know, well under half the time, like between a year and a half and 2 years, they were able to release 30 different wrestlers just compared to almost a 5 year period, a little over 4 years for LJN, you know, they really hit it out with the quantity of different available wrestlers. And, you know, what was interesting to me, you know, finding out about these over the years was just the different ways they packaged it. Like you mentioned, oftentimes it was a big deal. They do the tag teams or they do the two packs with the valets. But it's really neat to me too, that they had things like the ring that came, it was almost like a gift set, you know, the ring, and it came with Dick Worley and like, I think, seven other wrestlers. The videotapes, which I know back when I was collecting these early on in the internet, were certainly some of the most debated items because they weren't available everywhere. They're kind of like the LJN gift sets, which I hope we get to talk about. And then there are things that kind of pop up over time that not everybody saw and kind of questions the validity of it. But, you know, over time, these have been validated as things that have been out there, but not necessarily seen by the whole country. So it's a nice wrinkle in collecting. Like you said, sometimes you get to the end of collecting something or you finish the set and you're kind of just, well, now what? And then you sell it. But what's neat about some of this stuff is even 30 years later, you know, we're finding new things.
Absolutely, yeah, and I think that's a good way to close that section and open up the section that I think you're really excited about as far as the LJN line. So the LJN, I mean, I do wonder, though, how the style came about, because these are unlike really anything that I can think of. Is that correct for you guys? Can you think of any toy that was kind of this solid rubber chunk?
I certainly can't. I mean, I can't. Because yeah. even the Mego figures are, you know, those were even at least poseable. You know, you could at least move those.
Yeah.
Maybe, I mean, they're around the same height, but definitely not the same weight. I mean, I broke my mom's big toe with the Big Boss Man. So, you know, we'll get to that story.
Yeah, so, you know, like we've already said, these came around the same time, that same year. Don't know, the LJN is a toy company and video game company, so it's kind of crazy. You know, LJN did the video games for WWF for a long time as well with Acclaim. So that was, that's pretty cool information. With Series 1 coming out, you basically had, I mean, they put most of the stars out of that time right out of the gate. I mean, you had Andre the Giant, but if you saw Andre the Giant figure, you probably wouldn't know who it is. Would y'all agree? I mean, like, if, because the way I imagine Andre is not what the Andre figure, I mean, it's what he looked like at the time, but not what kind of we have the idea of what Andre is.
Yeah, it's a very kind of brief snapshot of the time period. Seems like right about when Kamala broke his leg in the, you know, so it seems like it's right from that era, which is a very, very unique period in Andre's career because he didn't look like that for very long. So
yeah. Yeah. And he's got the long hair that's really like, it really sticks out. Looks like a helmet, really. But you had Big John Studd, Hillbilly Jim, Hulk Hogan, of course, Iron Sheik, Jimmy Snuka. Junkyard Dog, as Jonathan had mentioned in our pre-show kind of thing, and Nikolai Volkoff and Rowdy Roddy Piper. Now, what's interesting, I've seen most of these figures, but I've rarely seen the accessories that came with them. I feel like the accessories were something that, you know, often got lost, like most things that kids play with. Even Rowdy Roddy Piper with a kilt, I don't believe I've ever seen that. So, Ian, what's your experience with Series 1? Did you start with those kind of as a kid, or how'd that come about?
Yeah. So I, in terms of collecting, I accidentally started in reverse. The first ones that I ever had were actually the final series, were the black cards. So I had a really kind of a different way of jumping into this line. And then again, you kind of find out by process of elimination. You know, the baseball card shows were really big in the early 90s, and, you know, you had some wrestling figures there and, you know, a lot of flea markets by us. So, yeah, it's weird. My first action figure ever was actually, I got four action figures for one of my birthdays. My mom answered an ad in the wrestling ring, which was the company that would advertise the LJN figures in the back of Pro Wrestling Illustrated and WWF Magazine. And, you know, they had advertised, you know, not going to last, going, you know, final series, blah, blah, blah. And they had the photos. So for my birthday, my mom had let me pick out three wrestling figures. And because they were quite expensive, this last series back then were $16.99. If you look at the original ad, which is crazy. Because think about that now. That's crazy now. You know, even some of your more detailed figures. You know, even the great Ring of Honor figures that are coming out now, those come with cloth accessories. Those come with all kinds of stuff. And those are 19. And those are more intended to be for collectors. So this was 1989. And these were $16.99. So you do the math there, the inflation, it's probably over $30. Yeah, probably closer to $35.
For what is ultimately a kid toy, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So it... I was, you know, I didn't quite understand that because I had, you know, the magazines, you know, we were middle class family. The magazines were never a problem. You know, we'd go to the grocery store. I'd bug my mom. Hey, can I get the magazine? Yeah. Okay. And that was, you know, $2.99 or $3.99. So, I didn't quite understand money yet, obviously as a 3 year old or 4 year old. So when she said that, you know, I could have two or three, it was like, okay. So I picked out Hulk Hogan, in the white shirt, the Ultimate Warrior and Brutus Beefcake. Cause those were the big, you know, big fan favorites. We got a call about 2 or 3 weeks later saying that those had sold out long ago and that our choices were Haku, the Warlord, Big Boss Man, and Rick Rude. And because they're just trying to get rid of them, and because they're, you know, because they're trying to close up shop, they're willing to send out all four as, you know, for the same price as the three. So, yeah, that year I got Rick Rude, Haku, the Warlord, and the Big Boss Man, which by the time I got the Big Boss Man figure, he was a fan favorite. So that worked out great. And so, you know, I had Big Boss Man to fight Haku, to fight Rick Rude, which later on 1990, of course he did. And then the Warlord. So I was happy as a clam. I didn't even mind. And then by then the Hasbro figures came out. So that was neat too. So, you know, it was a cool kind of world, but my first LJN action figures were actually the set that nobody had and that nobody could find. It's been kind of a white whale to me, and it's just been a super interest, like the Hasbro green cards, because I never saw these in stores. Everything online says that Series 6, the black card set, only came out in stores in Canada by Grand Toys. Grand Toys had bought the license by then, and that the only way to get them in the U.S. was through the catalog or later at stores like Toy Works and Toy Liquidators. And Lionel Kitty City stores that kind of had overstock, you know, with them, or even places like Big Lots at the time apparently got them as well. So it was interesting to me, looking back, that those were kind of my first. And then my very next one in the LJN set, we were at a flea market, and I got Hulk Hogan. And then one of the neighbors from down the street, who was my brother's age, my brother's 8 years older, he had said he had some action figures and they happened to be LJNs, and he brought those up. And in that bunch, I got Brutus Beefcake, Greg Valentine, the British Bulldogs, Nikolai Volkoff, Hillbilly Jim, Andre. So some of the earlier ones, Iron Sheik. And then it became like a hunt. You know, anytime we'd see a yard sale or garage sale or flea market, we'd try and fill in the gaps. But if I remember correctly, the first set had only five. I think there was only five in the first set, and then they were kind of re-released in the second set. And the most interesting thing to me that I found out later was actually that some of the early runs of the set actually came with these stands that you could use to stand up your action figure. And that's some of the more rare variants of the group.
Cause they wouldn't stand on their own, right?
Oh, they sure wouldn't. If you could find a King Kong Bundy that stands by itself, I will give you $1 million. So it's something. I mean, Andre the Giant didn't stand. Hulk Hogan, you would think they would make the Hulk Hogan to stand properly, but no, the Hulk Hogan did not. So almost none of them did. The Warlord does. You ever get a Warlord?
Oh, nice.
The Warlord does. Haku does. Rick Rude with, you know, in perfect conditions, Will, with no wind. but Big Boss Man doesn't, you know, very few of them do. And even, you know, Davey Boy Smith has like a curved foot. And it's like, why would you curve his foot?
I remember that.
Yeah, it's just enough to be annoying, too. You know, it's just enough that he doesn't stand, so.
Because I never really collected this series. I would love to now. Of course, it's the same problem as the AWA Remco figures, where they're valuable and they're hard to find. But I was around them because I worked at a flea market when I was 17 years old, and the guy I worked for loved wrestling, so he just had a huge bin full of these, mostly the normal ones as far as the easy to find ones. You know, every now and then he'd get a couple of variants and a couple of chase figures. But the one figure that I always thought was funny was the George Animal Steel, where
right.
He had chest hair, but it was not painted. So it was just like these little bumps on his chest, like these little like weird slug type things.
Yeah.
I guess to paint, that would be a whole nother process. So they just eliminated that.
Yeah. Well, have you ever seen there does exist, and for a long time, again, this is just like the you know, the big rumor about the tapes, the AWA tapes with the figures, and then, you know, stuff like that. But there does exist at least a few with a painted chest, and it looks unlike anything you would anticipate.
Really?
It would. It's the weirdest figure I've ever seen, and it's so weird that, you know, a lot of people accept it as authentic. So yeah, it's really strange. It just looks like a big brown splotch on his chest.
Because it probably hides the bumps so much that it just, you can't even tell. You'd have to like individually paint each hair kind of to make it look right, I guess.
But yeah, it is just like it's like a coat of arms almost. I mean, there's a photo of the prototype, and the prototype looks cool. There's individual chest hair, but the one that supposedly came out, the one that circulates as the variant, which is still kind of a matter of debate, has just, you know, just this big splotchy, you know, big brown splotch. So,
I mean, and the LJN line just, it has, I mean, just about everybody that was popular from 85, 86 to 89, I would say. I mean, if they were even people that, you know, may not have seemed like a good idea to put in, they did. And I mean, even Vince McMahon has his own figure, but that was probably his doing more than anybody else's. I don't know how many.
Gene Okerlund.
Yeah, Gene Okerlund. Go ahead.
Yeah, he was one of the few guys that I actually saw like well after the line was done. And he stuck on the shelves for a while, as did Slick. I do remember seeing them and Freddie Blassie.
Oh yeah, I've seen Freddie a bunch since then. Slick, I don't think I've ever seen Slick in person, and I didn't know he had a hat, but apparently he did come with a hat as well. And Coco Beware apparently comes with Frankie. Have you ever seen that? I haven't seen that.
I have actually in my first wheeling and dealing as a 10 or 11 year old, I arranged a purchase from a guy down the street, Brandon, and I actually procured Coco Beware and Frankie.
Wow.
And the Heart Foundation, and among others. So it was a good day. Obviously, the Heart Foundation, a little tougher to come by than Coco Beware, but I did also get Frankie in that transaction.
Yeah, well, whenever you can get a with the accessory, that's always good. So, you know, that completes the figure, and it's hard to do a lot of times. King Harley Race, he came with a crown, of course, and yeah, just some very cool ones. I always love the Bam Bam Bigelow figure. I thought they did a great job on that with his, you know, he's just got this ugly face and the tattoos and the flames on the outfit just make that figure to me.
Yeah, and that's actually one of my biggest disappointments as a young collector. You know, it was always said that it's, you know, back before the internet, there'd be some catalogs, and they would list in PWI and Inside Wrestling, and essentially sight unseen, you'd send off for these action figures. And I remember, I think I sent off $40 or $50, and I got the Bam Bam Bigelow figure, and it would have been awesome hadn't the paint worn down on his head and on his nose and on his arms. And that series in particular, I believe it's series 5. It's the one with Bam Bam Bigelow with One Man Gang, Ted DiBiase. A lot of those guys, if you wear down the skin, unlike some of the other series where this wearing down the skin would lead to just more skin tone, those would wear down into black. So it was actually a black coat or black rubber. So if you have a Bam Bam Bigelow that wears down or a One Man Gang that wears down on the face or anywhere where the skin tone, it's kind of a jarring scene. So, because they look like they're burnt. They look like, you know, so.
So, Jonathan kind of mentioned in our pre-show that we, had about his, the ring for LJN. So let's talk about the ring a little bit. Jonathan, so this thing was huge, right?
Well, it felt huge as a child. I'm guessing it probably is about the same size as the current Mattel, the scale ring, which is pretty big. But yeah, I mean, it was really tall as well. And I mean, these things, I think I accidentally said they were 12 inches. They're 8-inch figures, but again, they felt much larger when I was a child. But these big hunks of rubber needed a big ring to contain them, I guess. So yeah, I remember it being pretty big. And it was cool. From, if I remember correctly, it had red, white, and blue ring ropes. And it had a big WWF sticker in the middle of the ring.
So, Ian, do you currently have the ring? Did you have the ring as a kid, or how'd that work?
Yeah, I had the ring. I didn't get it new, so by the time I got it, it had been in nice played-with condition. And, of course, as you can imagine, the figures probably, I would guess, range from, you know, a little over a pound to, you know, a pound and a half. So, as a kid, you're playing with those. The ropes bend very easily, and they start to get kind of stuck. So, stuck in a worn-out position. So, I definitely had that. They were fun, for sure, but it was... You know, these figures were so big that and so heavy that any sort of ring was difficult to accommodate those figures. So, you know, for me, it was something that I tended to not use the ring because as small as I was at the time, it was a little cumbersome. But it was, it was fun for what it was. It did get pulled from the market, though. If you remember, there was complaints kids were hurting themselves, and that's what I was alluding to earlier, where the plastic would snap in such a way, the plastic ring post would snap in such a way that it wouldn't give if there was impact. Let's say a kid tripped, so you know they would fall on this and really really hurt themselves. Oh. So yeah, and if I believe it's either David Bixenspan or Chris Harrington on Twitter who. Posted the recall notice from, of all things, 1991, which was 2 years after the line ended. And somebody also put out the amount of people that answered the recall notice, which I forget. It was an incredibly small number. But I remember, you know, I remember that coming up. And I have a vague memory as a kid, my mom talking to the wrestling ring folks. And them actually saying that it was they could no longer sell it, that it was not sold out, but instead it was actually pulled from the market.
Wow, that's crazy. And
how did you break your mom's toe with the big boss man? Did that have anything to do with the ring?
Yeah, we were just sitting on the couch, and got a little aggressive with the big boss man. He was going for a nice big splash, and. He missed the warlord and landed right on my mom's toe. So
I don't remember them being hard and heavy enough to break a toe, but I guess he was a bigger guy, so maybe.
Yeah, his was actually not the same density as King Kong Bundy, because King Kong Bundy was probably the heaviest, but he was pretty heavy, I'd say.
I feel like you need to make yourself a shirt that says I broke my mom's big toe with my big boss man figure.
Yeah, I mean, it's something she still talks about.
So. I'm sure. Well,
so how many of these do you still have any LJN figures, Ian?
I have the entire set minus the red shirt Hulk Hogan, and I'm trying to think. Yeah, the red shirt Hulk Hogan, and if you count the Sergeant Slaughter Hasbro that's in the shape of an LJN, I do not have that one. However, guys, yeah, I have the whole set minus that, which is kind of crazy.
Wow.
Wasn't that Jax that did those? Or did Hasbro do one?
Oh, Hasbro did a mail-away Sergeant Slaughter in the 80s. That was in the mold of... an LJN style figure, but it was actually,
okay.
Yeah,
but it also tie in with their GI Joe figures, right?
It was, and in the ad, they actually had him stepping on a Hulk Hogan figure. So they were definitely to scale with the LJNs. So,
well, then didn't Jax do a few? Like I remember seeing a Bret Hart,
LJN style.
So they did a bunch of those. Actually, I did want to talk about those because those are cool. But they're in the same size as their regular figure, so they're only, you know, whatever six inches or so, which I guess isn't that far off. But yeah, they did like a Stone Cold, Undertaker, Rock, people you would assume they would do, Ric Flair, people like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I feel like they are a little bit smaller than the original LJNs. I feel like they're the size. They're more to scale with the San Francisco Toymaker rubber figures.
Yeah, yeah. They are much smaller. They're definitely not as heavy as... And those were Chase figures at the time, so I think they were packaged one per case. I used to have the Stone Cold, which was the first release, I think, and it was very cool, but I would like to have a lot of those because they made a Matt Hardy and a Jeff Hardy as well, and they look really cool.
Oh, so, yeah.
Ian, do you have, are all of these out of the package, or do you have any of them still in the packages?
Yeah, these are all loose. Most of them are very well played with. Surprisingly, the ones that are in the nicest condition, probably the Warlord, Haku. As I accumulated more, they were through yard sales and flea markets and, you know, like I said, my neighbors. And so over the years, you know, I was at an age where condition didn't really matter. And I just was trying to get the full set, which is difficult in the time before the internet. And when you only have flea markets and ads in the back of the magazines. But which brings me to an interesting point. You know, of course, on the last set, the only set I ever had on card at any point and got brand new was those four from the black card set. So I still have the card backs for the Warlord, for Haku, for Rick Rude, and for the Big Boss Man. And of course, on the back of those, you see Brother Love, you see the Barbarian, you see the Bushwhackers, and Bad News Brown. And if those five were not released, so it's something where as a kid, you know, I would get the back issues of the magazines at yard sales as well. And there was other versions of that wrestling ring ad that had them listed as coming soon and available. There's even one that said available for Smash. Smash wasn't released either. Axe was. And so for years and years and years, I had thought that those were available and that I just had to find them. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until about 1996 and 1997 when I was able to get online where they were, you know, I figured out that these were never released, that these were, you know, coming soon, blah, blah, blah. And I still hold out hope that, you know, there's going to be prototypes found of those, because those would probably been really cool figures, especially Smash to go with Axe and Barbarian to go with the Warlord, who was his partner at the time. So it's crazy because stuff like, you know, there was sculpts for the orange carded Hasbros that came out. You know, we saw head sculpts that showed up 22 years later of Jeff Jarrett, Men on a Mission, Diesel, and also some artwork, you know, of Bastion Booger and guys that hadn't been released, Tugboat. And so you just wonder what's kind of floating out there and just maybe who has what. You know, the Rhythm and Blues prototype was finally found last year.
Oh, wow.
You know, like two of them were. It's really weird. One is very beat up and played with, but the backstory apparently checked out. As somebody's relative worked for Hasbro, and there it was. And there's another one in much nicer condition. It was more of a resin prototype. So, yeah, you just never know what's out there. But for me, the on that back of the packaging that said Brother Love, the Bushwhackers, Smash, Barbarian, Bad News Brown, that they were coming, led me on a wild goose chase every time I went to a flea market or a yard sale for a good 6 years. So...
I really wish they would have released a Brother Love. I am addicted to Bruce Pritchard's podcast now, and I just feel like I would love to have a Brother Love figure.
Well, that would have been the Hasbro, that like caricature style would have been perfect for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he there's something interesting about that figure, because he's been asked about it twice on the podcast by Conrad. Mm-hmm. And I've actually talked to Conrad about it too. And he says there's a story behind it that, you know, maybe over time will tell, but, as to why it wasn't released. I just thought because the license had expired, because Hasbro picked up pretty quickly afterward. You know, those black card figures came out in 89. There's the initial Hasbro sketches that have started to surface from Ron Rudat have dates of 1989. So Hasbro had already kind of started at least doing concepts art, if not, you know, full on art to design the figures by the time the black cards came out. So I just assumed over time that it was just the license expired. But apparently there's a story behind it that might one day come out. So
it sometimes takes Conrad a little bit, but he usually gets it out of Bruce. So that would be an interesting story to have. So is there anything else you want to mention about it, Ian or Jonathan? I mean, we've talked a lot about him. I mean, I really wish, and I have no idea why I didn't collect these. I was its age bracket. I would have been seven, 8 years old when these came out. So, I mean, that's when I was collecting toys, and I was probably too busy with He-Man at the time, but I really wish I would have got some of these. They even made an Ultimate Warrior, Jonathan. Have you ever seen that? It looks really cool.
No, I mean, it's kind of weird to me that they were still making those figures when he was there, because I have some of the Hasbro Ultimate Warrior figures.
It is in that series that's probably the hardest one, right, Ian? It's in that series.
Yeah, it's one of the ones you said he tried to get.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I ended up getting one later just by dumb luck, again, like a Heart Foundation situation where it just kind of found me. But and I didn't have to pay an arm and a leg like I did with the Bam Bam Bigelow. But he's definitely one of the hardest to find. And you know, for me, it's always been strange because for a lot of the guys in the set, there's a few guys in the set, including Johnny V, Ted Arcidi, Outback Jack, that I had their figure before I necessarily knew who they were or how they kind of fit. And I had to have other people tell me who they were because I had either, you know, these figures had long lead times, right? Ted Arcidi, I don't think, came out until 1987, and he had already been come and gone by then. And Outback Jack is the only like case of, you know, he's like the quickest one to debut and then had an action figure. So, you know, it was weird for me because I'd get some of these figures and kind of have to deduce later who they were. Because, you know, if you think about it again, tape trading, not huge, especially for maybe a 10-year-old. And, you know, so I found out later who a lot of these guys were, like Ken Patera. It was another one. Hercules' figure was always interesting. He didn't have the look that he had on his figure for very long. So I didn't necessarily know who that was when I got it. And, you know, so for me, it was first exposure to a lot of these guys who I'd find later. And it just brings back a lot of fun memories talking about it because it gave, you know, gave something to do on Saturday mornings where, you know, we would go around to yard sales and things like that or go to thrift stores or go to flea markets. Our big spot for it was actually Gilbertsville. It was Zurn's over in Gilbertsville, Pennsylvania. They tended to have just people that would end up putting them in the, you know, they'd put a sticker on it that said a dollar. So, you know, I got Hulk Hogan for a dollar and I got a couple of the other guys for a dollar. Wasn't any particular store, just people that came up and set up little stands and, you know, you wouldn't see them the next time. But there's some cool, not a whole lot of variance in the band set. But I, you know, if I had unlimited disposable income, it might be neat to try and collect the black card set, which again is the last series. last series does have some variance in terms of carding. You know, the Macho Man is a very common figure. It's a very one of the best figures in the set, but it's very common loose. If you can find him on the black card, it's, you know, almost $1,000 figure because wow. It was a re-release on a card that, you know, in the last set wasn't really, you know, wasn't great production run, but they were just trying to clear old stock as the story goes. You know, same thing with Jake Roberts on a black card. There's some others that have turned up, like Adrian Adonis. There's a Bret Hart that was floating around. There's an Elizabeth that was floating around. Some people question the validity of those because why would they have, you know, re-released those particular ones? But who knows? And then there's the gift packs that came out. And these seem to be only available in Canada. And they're usually just two random figures. I've seen one, it was Billy Jack Haynes and the Honky Tonk Man. I've seen another, that was Adrian Adonis and Jake Roberts. I've seen one, Hercules and Bruno Sammartino. So just two random figures in sort of a window box. And it just, I think it's a value set or gift set. And those tended to apparently to be from Canada. And they just seem to be overstock at the end of the line, packaged together. And thrown in a little set. So some cool stuff there. The tag team sets were cool. A really underrated part of the set for me was the Bendy set. The Bendys were really cool. I really like those. I have the whole set of those. And then I also have all of the Thumb Wrestlers minus two, King Kong Bundy and Jake Roberts, and some lore around those. King Kong Bundy and Jake Roberts are said to be Canadian exclusive. Wow. Those are very, very, very difficult to find. And when they pop up on eBay, they go for big bucks, especially Jake, because he's got Damien his neck, which is, it's a really, really cool Bendy if you can, or a thumb wrestler if you're able to find it. I've never seen one in person. It's one of the few like big wrestling LJN items that I haven't seen in person.
Yeah, those are cool. And they also did the stretch wrestlers, right? Like the Stretch Armstrongs.
Those actually had a pretty solid run in terms of there's way more than I thought there was because growing up, you know, those are so difficult to maintain. Anybody that's ever had a Stretch Armstrong knows that, you know, those things like bleed essentially and they make a mess and get stuck to your, you know, wherever you had them sitting, and they can, you know, the rubber disintegrates and then you got all that gook everywhere. So those are really difficult to find now, but I think there was like 10 different wrestlers. I know there's Hulk Hogan, Roddy Piper, Junkyard Dog. There's a whole bunch of those.
Ricky way more the than Dragon, I think.
Yeah. Until Macho I got Man. The internet, I had no idea.
Yeah, the internet changed collecting in a lot of ways. I remember my friend showing me eBay the first time, and he was like, just name off something, just name off something. So I'd name off something, and he'd be like, look, here it is, you want it? It was like, man, I mean, before it was like you'd have to just hunt flea markets and yard sales, but with the internet, it's, I mean, as long as you got the money, it's, you know, usually right there.
And it was, and that's crazy, I mean, so crazy. Because it used to take hours, it used to take months just to find something, and then hoping to find it. And I remember one of the first, you know, wrestling conventions I went to, quote unquote, in Parsippany, New Jersey. The, you know, there's so much out there that it just didn't, it shocked you because you kind of only knew what you knew. And then you'd get there and you'd be blown away by, you know, everything that you didn't know was out there.
Yeah. Before we let you go, Ian, I do want to talk about the, you know, Ring of Honor has its own set now. Actually, a couple series by Figures Toy Company. So what's the feeling on that for the guys? Like, we had Jay Lethal on the show at the end of last year, I believe, and he was just over the moon about about his figure. They're very cool. They're very old school, like you kind of said earlier, where they have the cloth robes and cloth shirts and stuff. So what, you know, are the guys really excited about these figures coming out? Because Series 2 just came out, and you've got Adam Cole, Bobby Fish, Delirious, and Kyle O'Reilly, I think.
Yeah, and the figure, the Delirious figure might be one of the coolest action figures I've ever seen. It's, you know, if you get a chance to get a hold of that one, that's, it's just awesome. It's really neat for Ring of Honor because I think this shows how far we've come and how far we've grown. And I'm sure it's really, really cool for the guys as well. I mean, it's just, I was able to see Mark Briscoe and Jay Briscoe get handed their action figures for the first time, and they, you know, their eyes lit up like Christmas trees. And these are badass dudes. Like, I mean, if you've ever been around Jay and Mark Briscoe, yeah, they're, you know, they're chicken farmers from Sandy Fork, but they're badass guys. And you know, they were just over the moon thrilled with you know, with what they had in their hands. So it's just, it's really neat. Our fans have really responded. I remember the first time that we had them on sale, you know, at a live event, fans were going crazy. They sold out very quickly. And again, these are priced more toward collectors. These are maybe a little bit, you know, these are a little bit more detailed. They're old school. They have the cloth. So they definitely are something unique and something different. You know, Figures Toy Company makes a lot of great figures. They make the Batman figures, which are really neat. I just saw they released some Harry Potter stuff that looks really cool too. So these are definitely, you know, they're definitely geared toward a collector market. And the quality, you notice the quality right away too. The Michael Elgin figure is really, really neat. You know, in the Ring of Honor office, we have the ring set up with Michael Elgin, with the Briscoes, with Steen, with Jay Lethal. And it's really neat. I mean, you pay for what you get with the Ring of Honor figures. They're great quality. The second set is awesome. Again, Delirious, he's got to be the figure of the set. And then, you know, War Machine, they just tweeted out, Ray Rowe and Hanson, that they'll be part of Series 3. And those figures look incredible, too. So, yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to mention those because they, if you follow Figures Toy Company, they did tweet out pictures of both of them. And I mean, War Machine is one of my favorite tag teams. Not in just Ring of Honor, but anywhere. They are a great tag team. They very much complement each other, and the figures are very cool. So I can't wait to see those once they come out. Now, I wonder, I can't wait to see who else is in Series 3. So they usually do four figures a series, I believe.
They do, and what's also cool too, so, you know, Figures Toy Company, they've had other figures too. They do the Rising Stars of Wrestling, which have the Young Bucks. There's the Kenny Omega figure. They had a really cool AJ Styles, a Tama Tonga. So not only are the Ring of Honor figures out there as well, but you can get some of the other, you know, stars of the wrestling world that have happened to come through Ring of Honor and really have a cool kind of collection of action figures. It's amazing to me, you know, how quickly these have kind of grown a life of their own. And, you know, you could pretty much have a large majority of the Ring of Honor roster right now, you know, between the two sets that are out and then also the Young Bucks. I know Colt Cabana's action figure was out for a bit. You know, Kenny Omega, who's on top of the world, who we've had in Ring of Honor, Tama Tonga, same thing. So, yeah, just a really cool series of figures. Again, they look great displayed. They're in the Ring of Honor office, and they look awesome. So, you know, something that, you know, Figures Toy Company, they made some great figures.
Now all we need, and Jonathan would probably agree with this, is a Dalton Castle and the boys three pack with the championships.
Yeah.
Well, you can buy the TV title, the world title, and the tag team title. So
oh,
I wouldn't
that's
be surprised. Yeah, you can buy those in separate accessory pack, and I wouldn't be surprised if you see the six-man title soon. So
yeah, it's very cool. Jonathan, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say before we let you go, Ian, I want your, I guess, your opinion on something, both of you actually. So there was a $6 million man action figures in the late 70s, there was a Bigfoot figure who on the show was played by Andre the Giant. So would you consider that the first wrestling action figure?
Oh, man. Wow, I hadn't even...
Yeah, I didn't put that together. Maybe not, but maybe. I don't know. first figure based on a wrestler, let's say.
Yeah, I'm taking a look at it right now. And they clearly... Okay, that's the re-release. And I'm taking a look at the retro one. They went out of their way, I think, to make it not look like Andre the Giant both times. So... Yeah, I think I would say no if it was easily or more easily identifiable, maybe. But I still think maybe the Poppy set from Japan might be the first big release. I know Gorgeous George had a doll or two, like an actual doll. But yeah, I would say maybe the Poppy figures are probably the first.
Yeah, and when I should have stated this at the beginning, it was in the United States was the AWA stuff. But yeah, in other countries, wrestling figures had existed for a little while. But, Ian, so what else can you promote? Big things going down in Ring of Honor? I know you just had the big show, and a lot of things came from that. We've got a new champion, a new six-man team.
And a new member of your announce team.
Yeah, so a lot of, you know, changes in the air a little bit in Ring of Honor and coming out of Best in the World. I think there might be more questions than answers. Right now we have the new World Six-Man Tag Team Champions, Dalton Castle and the boys, and a bit of an upset for sure. And, of course, the new ROH World Champion, Cody, who's not even signed with Ring of Honor. So, you know, he's got a chance to make history at the G1 special in the USA. He takes on Okada, Kazuchika Okada, for the IWGP Championship with that title on the line. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see who comes out on top because, you know, Cody's playing with house money. He's almost got nothing to lose because only the IWGP title is on the line. So super interesting there. And then, you know, coming up, we have a little bit of a break in terms of pay-per-view events. Our next pay-per-view is not until Death Before Dishonor, which is in October. It's going to be, September in Las Vegas. So, you know, keep an eye out for that. But we got some great things happening on Ring of Honor television. Guys like Jay White, Punishment Martinez, they're in a big feud right now that's carrying over into television. And also our television champion, Kushida, he's got a great match coming up against Jay White in a couple of weeks' time on Ring of Honor TV. And then I haven't really heard from Christopher Daniels, and that's sort of unusual for a man that was become so synonymous with Ring of Honor and his journey to the championship. So a lot of things are happening right now in Ring of Honor, and a lot of reasons to tune in each and every week on the Sinclair Broadcasting Channel's affiliates. Also, ROHWrestling.com and the Fight TV app are three great ways to watch ROH.
Awesome, Ian. We really appreciate you coming on with us tonight and talk. You have a wealth of knowledge. I bow to your presence as far as your knowledge of action figures and wrestling. And we just really appreciate your help in making this a cool series for our listeners. And you've become a friend of the show, and we really appreciate it.
Absolutely, anytime. Thank you so much for having me.
No problem. And Jonathan, do you have any last words?
I'm just curious, how is Matt Sexcel's doing as a, the backstage interviewer now?
Yeah, you know what? I heard the initial reports were good, so we'll see. I mean, that's big shoes to fill. I heard the last guy that did it was pretty good, so I don't know whatever happened to him.
All right, guys. Well, thank you very much. And Ian, maybe we can work out a schedule where you can come on and talk about Hasbro's, because that will be our next conversation.
Oh, that'd be great. I'd love to.
All right. Thank you, Ian. And everybody, thanks for listening. Support our Patreon page if you can. And we will see you next time in the ring. Dum-da-da-dum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-b
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.